I want you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 19, if you would. And this is going to be we're going to take a little bit of time studying Genesis 19. And I don't have it set up for tonight. I don't have it prepared for tonight. But I do believe there is an archaeologist by the name of Ron Wyatt. Now, some of you may know his name. Some of you online may know his name. I don't trust all of his findings. He is a Seventh-day Adventist, and he uses his archaeology to sort of prove Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. And he claims to have discovered the Ark of the Covenant at a place. He said that the Ark of the Covenant was hidden after the days of Josiah the king. You don't see the Ark of the Covenant anywhere in Scripture. You see it in the days of Josiah the king, but after Josiah, it disappears. I mean, it disappears from the Scriptures, and we actually have a written record of everything that Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple. When he raided Jerusalem, they made a list, and it's in your Bible, of every single, right down to the spoons and snuffers, the candle snuffers that they took out of the temple. What's missing from that list is the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, and the candlesticks. Those three items were missing from what Nebuchadnezzar took. And of course, those three things represent the heart of the tabernacle. They represent the Godhead. The ark represents God the Father and His throne. The table of showbread represents Christ, the bread from heaven. And the seven candlesticks are the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit. And so they're completely gone from any mention in Scripture and any record after that. They're gone. We don't know what happened to them. Ron Wright came up with a theory that under a place called Gordon's Calvary, the Catholic Church named a bunch of places in Jerusalem that they thought was the places that Jesus did certain things, including being crucified. And of course, they put a big Catholic church there. But we don't think that he was crucified there. There's some evidence to suggest that he was crucified at a place called Gordon's Calvary. It does still to this day look like a skull. It has two big eye things, and it sort of looks like that. Ron Wyatt claims that he broke into a chamber that went underneath Gordon's Calvary and found the Ark of the Covenant directly under Gordon's Calvary. And he claims that the blood of Jesus, when they pierced him, and the blood and water flowed out, and the earthquake opened a small chasm to let the blood of Christ go down and sprinkle the earthly Ark of the Covenant, thus fulfilling the Old Testament covenant. I've looked for evidence in Scripture for years for that and have not found any. So it's not that I don't believe that it's possible. I just haven't found the scriptural evidence. And I think something like that would be in the Bible somewhere. Something, if it was important, God puts it in the Bible. If it's not important, God says, move on. He claims to have found Noah's Ark. There is some dispute about that. And he says that he had found the real Mount Sinai. Now that I can go along with. I see the evidence. I've seen the top that's been burnt to this day of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is in Arabia, like Paul said, and not in the Sinai Peninsula, which belongs to Egypt. It's in the Catholic, once again, the Catholic Church picked the wrong spot. So there is a monastery there at the base of this mountain that they called Sinai, but it's not Sinai. Mount Sinai is in Arabia, and Ron Wyatt and others who have gone after him say that they find the same thing there. When it comes to Sodom and Gomorrah, there is some evidence that I believe that it's possible that he found it at the southwest corner of the Dead Sea. And I'll probably find some pictures of that and show that to you as a justification of scriptures, that when God said that he would destroy this so that nothing would live there ever again, that fact is true. It is one of the most arid, dry places on the earth, and it gets so little rain that nothing lives there. There's just absolutely nothing lives there. It is one of the most barren spots in the whole world. So I'll probably work on that as we go through here. But the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, in my opinion, is a very highly relevant story that should be studied. It should be remembered, because what God did here is something I believe God is going to do again. If God, we'll just take our own country for instance. If God does not judge America, then he owes Sodom a favor or an apology. Because we are about as wicked. Having been to Vegas, we went to a Las Vegas. We didn't find too many Walmarts, but there was Target stores. And of course, you know, you leave and you always forget something. So we just went to a Target store. And Lisa always goes to the clearance aisle of any store. And their clearance aisle was full of sodomite flag, rainbow colored shirts, pants. There was a whole suit and pants that was the sodomite rainbow flag. Lisa said, "Do you want that?" Needless to say, there are no pictures of me on the internet or anywhere else trying that suit on. I protect my appearance on the internet, I guarantee you. So anyway, we're up on the screen. Genesis 19, verse 1. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." Let's stop right here and pray. Father, we ask your blessings on your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts. Father, this record is important. This story is important. It has vital, vital indications, Lord, of things that you have done since then, things that you are going to do once again. I believe it is something, Father, that we should take note of to understand, God, the exact nature of your fury. When you say you're going to destroy something, you destroy it. So, Father, help us to learn from the story of Sodom. Help us to take it to heart. And understand, Father, the significance of it in the days that we're living in right now. Help us to not live in fear, but to be under the grace, Father, that you gave Lot. We ask you to bless this teaching tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So now we answer the question, number one, of who the two men that were with the Lord in Genesis 18. If you read Genesis 18, you see clearly that as the story moves along in Genesis 18, these two men are talking to Jesus, the Lord, and they're saying to him, "Shall we hide from Abram?" Or by now it's Abraham. Shall we hide from Abraham the thing that you are going to send us to do? And the Lord says, "No, I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do." And so we know these two men then are the two angels that show up at the door of Lot at his house. It identifies them in chapter 18 as two men. It now identifies them in chapter 19 as two angels. Now, what this means is that you would see them, and you may not know they were angels. They don't automatically carry halos that they put on to show that they're, hi, look at, I'm an angel, see? I wear a halo. They don't do that. They could be anybody that you meet, that you see. They could be anybody that asks you for help or asks you for a ride or anything like that. And I think even on the bad team, I think it's possible that there are evil angels that look like humans that could be on this earth doing very evil, diabolical things. I think it's possible. And I think people would entertain them. And upon, I do believe that those who are very evil, those who worship Satan or practice any kind of satanic religion, would then welcome any of these evil human-looking angels and regard them as gods and bow to them and want them to give them powers. That's what witches do when they ask, they're asking the universe, but what they're really doing is getting devils to give them certain powers that when they pronounce certain spells or chants or incantations or whatever, it's not the four elements that are helping them. It's principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places that's doing the things for them. And that's what I believe. I believe all the powers of witchcraft and the occult, any paranormal activity, I've seen some things that I believe are true. I do not believe they're camera tricks. I believe that they are paranormal events that have happened. There's YouTube channels full of this stuff. And when all of a sudden every cabinet in a house opens in the middle of the night, I believe there's spirits there that are opening those cabinets. I believe that there are what they call poltergeist spirits that are sort of tricksters. You'll lay your keys in the same place you put your keys every single day. Go to look for them, not be able to find them. 3 weeks later, you'll find them, in the car, in the ignition. Things like that happen to people. And I just watched a documentary last night where this family hired these two psychic mediums, and they were doing the same weird stuff we saw, Lisa, at the UFO place, with stuff with their hands and waving in the good devils and pushing out the bad devils and closing portals and all that kind of, it's nonsense. It's superstition. But I do believe that there are evil devils that are present in houses that do funny things. So anyway, but these happen to be two good angels. And the question then is, it appears that Lot has an understanding of who they are. It says they're halfway through verse 1, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. I think Lot understood there was something about these men that he felt in his spirit. These were not mortal men, that they must have been messengers from God, and that they were of a higher source, a higher nature than he was. And he felt compelled to bow himself. God making us a little lower than the angels. Obviously, these angels have great power. In fact, these two angels, the Bible says that these two angels are the ones who bring the destruction upon Sodom. Because they tell Lot later, we can't do this until you're out. We're going to destroy this city. We can't do it until you're clear of this place. So I think Lot probably understands who these men are, and I think then the men of Sodom, word starts spreading throughout the streets. This is nighttime, and I can tell you that in place, having been in Las Vegas at night, I asked the question, does this go on all night? And they said, yeah, these things never close. These casinos never shut up. They don't close at 3 o'clock in the morning. Come back at 10 in the morning, we'll be open. They don't do that. They open 24 hours a day. Non-stop sin. Non-stop. And so I think word spread through the streets of Sodom that there were two men of a unique character, a unique appearance, and these men, recognizing that, wanted the opportunity to do those things that those men do with those two higher beings. Okay? Now, that's my theory, and it's been my theory for years, that men and women both, there will come a time when they will desire to join with angelic beings in a fornication situation. That's, I believe that with all my heart. I see clearly the sons of God taking the daughters of men. And I don't think the daughters of men were complaining any. They chose these nice looking women and made them wives and joined with them and created a hybrid race on this earth. I believe that event is going to take place again as per Daniel chapter 2. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. I think mankind is going to get to a place where the normal perversions of this world will not satisfy him. Okay? And I was made aware, in fact, you pray for Joshua, what's his last name? Huh? Yeah, Joshua Haynes and his wife, they both have China virus. And but he sent me something yesterday and it caught my attention. Daniel was receiving a vision, but he was in a deep sleep. And the angel simply touched him and he immediately arose out of his sleep and stood on his feet. And what that reminded me of was I did a series of Watchman broadcasts on the Betty Andreessen, who claims that she had been abducted multiple times by these aliens / devils / spirits to set her up with this religious idea that she spread around all over the place. And many of the stories that people tell that when these devils have them on a table performing very painful procedures on them and they're screaming in pain, these devils would just simply touch them and all of a sudden they would feel euphoria. And all the pain would go away and they would feel this instant like, I've never felt anything. This is the greatest thing in the world that I've ever felt. And as soon as they would let go, the pain would come back and they would be going, do this again. And it's just like a drug. If you've ever taken a drug, gotten high, ever gotten drunk or anything like that, and once you do that and get that feeling, you want it back again. And I have a belief that when God kicks the third of the angels down from heaven, that they're going to bring things to mankind that mankind will absolutely, they would die for to get them. I mean, think about, what if they came up with a way to genetically alter somebody so that their own body produced on a constant basis a chemical that would give them a feeling of euphoria 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never go away. If you didn't know the Bible, how many of you honestly would have that done? I'm being dead honest. If I did not know this Bible, and they promised we can change and make you feel like it's the greatest feeling in the world ever. We just tweak your DNA a little bit. We know how to do it now. We can do that for you. People would line up. People would kill for that. The same people that now hold medical marijuana cards in their hands. Right? Okay? So now watch this. Verse 2, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in." He understands who they are, lords. "I pray you, enter your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Now, who's right here? Is Lot, are the angels not understanding the danger that could be out in the streets? Remember, these are angels. They are higher than us. They have more powers than us. And it wouldn't matter if a million Sodomites in the city of Sodom came crashing in at Lot's house. These guys are not about to just give in to them. Lot may not quite understand that, so he says, verse 3, "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." Remember, these are the same two angels that ate at Abraham's house. So they've gotten two good meals within a day. Okay? Eating well, living high on the hogs, as we call it. And I had that verse up on the screen, Hebrews 13:2. He's doing exactly what Paul said. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some," and I think this is what he means, "some have entertained angels unawares." And I think it's possible that Paul may be referring to this exact story in our Bible. Some have entertained angels unaware. We have another story where, in fact, it was Samson's mother. We're not given a name for her. Her husband's name was Manoah, and the angel of the Lord appeared there in her house, and she entertained this angel. If you remember Gideon, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, Gideon, after receiving from the angel what God promised, that God was going to use Gideon to save Israel, Gideon says, "Hold on, let me go do something." So he goes and kills a kid or a calf, and he boils it, he cooks it, stews it, and brings the meat and brings the broth and bakes unleavened bread and brings it over there to the angel to entertain him, to feed him, to bring gifts and blessings to these angels. Okay? But in this case, the angel asked him, pour the broth out into the ground, and that's what he did. Now that's wasted. And he put the meat and the bread on a rock, and the angel of the Lord touched it, and it all turned into ash. It burned up right in front of him. So he did not receive the gift that Gideon gave. But then Gideon realized, this must be the Lord. The Lord doesn't need my gift in order to bless me, does he? One thing I found out that startled me about the Catholic Mass was that the priest tells everybody in the Mass that this bread and this wine is, it belongs to us, the church, and we are giving it as a gift to God. That was in that thing that Dee, when her mother passed away, that was in her Bible. I scanned those pages and I was stunned to see that the bread and the wine that they turned into the body and blood of Jesus Christ originally started as belonging to the church, and the church offered it as a gift to God, and God took it. That's wicked. Because it says that we have to pay God for what we've done wrong. And that's not salvation. Salvation is that God pays for what we did wrong. Be careful, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now turn to Genesis 13. Let's get an idea of who Sodom is. Genesis 13, verse 13. And remember, in Genesis 13, verse 13, J.R., how many words are there in verse 13? 13. And what do those words say? The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So Lot chose this place to live, and they were already the most evil, wicked people in the world. And we're going to learn here in a little bit. See, let me explain it like this. Sodomy is the fruit of the sinful condition of the people of Sodom. It itself is not what they're doing wrong that makes God angry. It's the result of other sins that they have committed that God turns them over to a reprobate mind. We have Romans chapter 1 to tell us that. I don't know if I have that in my notes. No, I don't. So let's turn to Romans 1 very quickly and get an understanding. It was brought to my attention by somebody in our church, and I'm not going to say who, because they did not give me permission. But their heart is very heavy for a man in their family, because the man, he's married, has a wife, and they've been married for several years. The wife is quite a bit younger than the man is. The man is about 70 years old. But the wife has found out that her husband, this man, has been looking at gay porn. And so that marriage is breaking up. Obviously, there's something that has been going on in this man's life. He 70 years old. The body gets old and it just doesn't work the way it used to. And by the time you're 70 years old, you should be over and done with that stuff. But he has sort of renewed, I guess, an interest in his mind and heart. And he has turned himself over to that, and that marriage is in great jeopardy. He's asked me to pray for this man, and I have. I can tell you, after leading a sodomite who was dying of AIDS to the Lord's, I know that not everybody who deals with the issue of sodomy in their life, either a man or a woman, they're not all reprobates. Remember that. Paul actually said it. He said, some of you were effeminate, but now you're clean. So obviously, there are some who get affected by this, but God has not turned them over yet to a reprobate mind. But I will say this, the longer they're in it, the more danger they're in. So let's look at verse 26, verse 25. These people changed the truth of God into a lie. So they altered the Bible and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, now here's what God does. The original sin is not sodomy. The original sin is they changed the truth of God into a lie. That's the original sin. So all these churches that have disregarded the King James, thrown it out, and are now using the gender-neutral NIV, they're in danger. Because they are slowly but surely changing the truth of God into a lie. Every time a new translation comes out, like the one I read about this morning, that Native American translation, they have totally ruined John 3:16. So it says, for this cause, verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then he reads off the list of what you can do now if you want to be turned over to be a sodomite. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder. The whole thing here is 23 things in this list. That's the number for death. Who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That's what the Bible says. So, clearly, the sin of sodomy is the result of much deeper rooted sins. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Well, I remember one night, Matthew, I was at Ron's for deer season. You were too little at the time for me to take you. And I couldn't sleep that night. And I'm sitting at the bottom of the stairs in Ron's basement there at his farm. And I'm just reading Isaiah 1. And I wished I had a whole congregation of people there to preach to. Because, man, I was full of the Holy Ghost right then. Boy, I'm going, I could preach this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? And this is God saying this to Israel. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. And let me remind you of something. The state of Israel, the nation of Israel, has a very liberal, lenient policy concerning sodomy. And Tel Aviv, which is the capital of Israel, is probably the Jewish sodomite capital of the world. So much so that they advertise, this was before COVID, they'll probably go back to doing it again, but I saw advertisements for people to take a cruise to Tel Aviv. And I'm going, what is so big about Tel Aviv? But then I started paying attention to the commercial. The gal that they had on there ends up running on the beach holding hands with another woman. And then, of course, you see the rainbow colors there advertising these cruises to Tel Aviv. Well, what they're about is they're hookup cruises. We'll bring all you good sodomites from America and we'll take you over to all these sodomites. You can have fresh meat in Tel Aviv. The Tel Aviv people can have fresh meat from America. Okay? Because, and I saw this, I think I got it. They wanted the laws changed so that they could get married. But I was in the courtroom when these two married lesbians were going to get a divorce. And they were joking, they were poking one another and kidding up one another. And they were like friends that just did this thing simply because they could do it now. But they didn't really want to stay together. And here they are, the judge granted them a divorce, a very simple, easy divorce. You guys just split up and take whatever's yours and go away. And it was done in 30 seconds. And they were laughing and cutting up as they left the courtroom. And I'm going, they really didn't want marriage. They just wanted to ruin what it was, which is Christ and His church. That's what they wanted to do. So anyway, back to Isaiah. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even into the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefied. Think of a peach you've got in your hand that's got bruises on it, stuff oozing out of it, rotten smell to it. Are you going to eat it? No. That's what he's describing here. There's no soundness in it. You thump the watermelon. You get this mushy sound. This thing's ruined. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now go back to that deal that God made with Abraham. Abraham says, Lord, if you find 50 in Sodom, will you destroy it? And God said, for 50, I will not destroy Sodom. And he Jews him down to 10. For 10, I will not destroy Sodom. I believe that the reason why God has not destroyed America is because of the true saints of God who still live here. However, and that's what that's saying, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. There was a remnant of Jews who still worshiped God the right way then. That Jerusalem would have already been turned into Sodom and Gomorrah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 3, a few pages over. Now look at this. Chris, I'm not trying to say you're old. But when you were a young man and you heard that somebody was gay, how did your peers treat that person? That was in the 60s. Okay? That's kind of what I was getting at. In the military, what happened to a guy? Just be honest.
He wouldn't make it. He'd been thumbed out.
Okay? They used to have to hide their sin. It was what I'm getting at. Isaiah 3 verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Now this is what's happened. Huh? In this country now. And I heard, we were at Walmart Friday. And I heard two teenage boys, I heard one of them say, my gaydar is going off. It means he spotted what he thinks is either two gals or two guys or a guy that was a sodomite. And now it is very open, very honest. People are out and they're not hiding it anymore. When you look back at the number of actors in Hollywood, that you find out that they were always gay and you didn't know it, like Raymond Burr. Ironside, Perry Mason. Yeah. And when you watch him, you're going, no way. No way. Mm-mm. They hit it. And the actors around them knew it. They hit it. The dad on the Brady Bunch, Rock Hudson, Paul Lynde, the comedian. Okay. Some of these guys in kid shows that were sodomites. You know, you find this out now and you just go, now it's commonplace. Okay. And people are no longer hiding it anymore. They're doing this. They declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Now, always keep this in mind as we go through this. God destroyed the Sodomites. God saved Lot. The New Testament calls him just Lot, meaning he was justified in the sight of God. He had his sins forgiven of him. Why? Because he obeyed the witness of the angels and accepted their salvation. His daughters did. His sons, future sons-in-law, who were espoused to his two daughters, they believed it not. His wife turned around to look back at Sodom. She turned her back on God's offer of salvation, and God destroyed her as well. Only three were saved. Okay? And so we're living in a time now where I believe the clock is ticking on America, on Israel, the nation of Israel. God loves them, but they are doing exactly what Isaiah said they would do. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. And this is partly one of the reasons why the Muslims hate them so much. Because they are, by nature, Jews are very liberal in their politics and in their morality. Very liberal people. Huh? Yeah. Exactly. You mentioned San Francisco. The reason why San Francisco is known as the gay capital is that the Navy, whenever they found out somebody aboard ship was a sodomite, they took them to San Francisco, offloaded them, gave them a dishonorable discharge, and they're in San Francisco. And it just, they just filled up. Houston's another big sodomite area. Okay? But it's growing now in every community, even down south, down in these hillbilly towns. Okay? They put up with that. And it happens. The pastor that followed me in down at Richwoods, his wife, turns out she had been with several of the women down there while he's pastoring the church down there. He tries everything in the world to keep his marriage together. She says, I want a divorce. She divorces him. Of course, she gets the kids. Wicked as can be. So, Isaiah 13:19, in Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is a foreshadowing now of Babylon. As God did it to Sodom, that's what He's going to do to Babylon. Jeremiah 23:14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all unto them as unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. He doesn't mention the sin of sodomy here. He just says they walk in lies, they strengthen the hands of evildoers, they tell people in their church how you're living is fine, you don't have to worry about it, come as you are, live how you are, I don't want to make you feel bad concerning sin, and they won't preach the condemnation of hell to them so that they can be saved. They spread lies to them, they strengthen their hands to do more and more evil, and won't touch their sin. And God says, I see that church as Sodom and Gomorrah. Jeremiah 49:18, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. He's talking about Babylon. Jeremiah 50, again about Babylon, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Now turn to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, turn there and I'll be done. Try to get you out, like I said, at 4 o'clock tonight. Ezekiel 16. This is about Jerusalem. This is the history of Jerusalem, why God chose Jerusalem. God loved Jerusalem. That was His earth. He has a heavenly city called Jerusalem. It's a beautiful, magnificent city. She's the mother of us, all of us who are saved. Now we have this earthly city, Jerusalem, and God wants to glorify and magnify it as the heavenly Jerusalem, but it's not working out. It's so full of sin and corruption and evil. And He says in verse 46, thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if it were a very little thing, thou hast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. Jerusalem ended up worse than Sodom. And as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters as thou hast done, and thou and thy daughters. Behold, and this here, right here, underline this in your Bible. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. This is what led now to the openness of the sin of sodomy. Pride. What do they call their parades? Pride parades. Yep. Fullness of bread. Buffets. Food that we throw away because we got plenty more. And the abundance of idleness. And we ask the question, why do we see more and more teenagers turning into sodomites? Pride. Abundance of potato chips. Cheetos. And idleness. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. That's not in the Bible. But it is true. It is biblically true. Idleness. And here Obama, if you remember, back when he became president, he floated this idea that children who were in farmers' families were going to be no longer allowed to work on their family farm. And all the farmers rose up and said, that is the stupidest thing in the world. And the kids, the farmer kids saying, my daddy's teaching me his ways and how to work. I still get my homework done. My daddy is, and my mama's teaching me ways to keep this farm going after they're gone. I'm going to run this farm after they're gone. And I'm going to do it well. And my daddy's teaching me these things. How to milk cows. How to do this. How to cut wood. How to do that. Stupid thing. That was their iniquity. Was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. So I would say to Las Vegas, Paris, France, London, England, New York City, Tampa, Florida, Tel Aviv, Israel, St. Louis, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, Los Angeles, California, Phoenix, Arizona, you name it. You name the city. As the sin of Sodom increases, the idleness, the pride, the fullness of bread, it breeds more and more sin and more destruction. I never thought in my lifetime I would see a day when an entire state would legalize every illegal drug. I never thought I would see that day. But that day has come now. And we're living in perilous, dangerous times. I thought I was going to have to pop a guy in Vegas. We were walking across the bridge and he was high either on meth or angel dust or something. And he was just bouncing off the walls. And he came over at me and Lisa. And I thought, I'm going to have to grab him and I'm going to have to sock him or something to get him out. If he touches me or my wife, I'm going to do something to him. I'm not going to let him get it. He was just so high out of his mind, Chris. It made me sick. They let that stuff go on all the time. Well, let's pray. Remember, God knows how to judge Sodom while He saves the saints. God did it when Israel was in Egypt. God did it for Lot and his family. God did it for Noah and his family. God did it for Israel, the good Jews. He kept them away. God will do it for us too. It's the same God. Keep that in mind. Father, we love You. We thank You, God, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for what we're learning tonight. This world is a very, very evil, wicked world. And the churches, Father, are becoming more and more corrupt, more and more wicked, more and more evil. And God, it is just sickening to our stomachs to see the disgusting vileness that is around us every day. Father, please have mercy on us, lest we become part of that. As you called your people out of Babylon, so call us out of the evil and the wicked in this world. I thank you, God, that I live in a place where none of my neighbors are drug addicts. None of my neighbors are gangsters and prostitutes and drug abusers and sellers. And I thank you, God, Lord, that I live in a place, Lord, that's free from all of that. I pray, dear God, that you would bless those, Lord, who don't have it that way. God, that you would protect them and protect their families. Keep them safe. Let angels guard them and keep them, Father, from the drugs and the gangs and everything that surrounds them, Father. Father, protect them. Protect them from sodomite family members who want to prey on children in their own families and turn them into sodomites. God, just protect our people and our children tonight, we pray. Protect us. We ask for your blessings in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.